Harrisonburg 360.
Real people,
real stories,
one community.
Hello, and welcome to the Harrisonburg 360 podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bruno. The Harrisonburg 360 podcast is an attempt to capture and record narratives of immigrants living in the Harrisonburg community. Using past and present voices of Harrisonburg immigrants, students in our JMU English class have collaborated to create a space focused on the importance of listening to each other's voices. Every person deserves a chance to share their story, and we as a class are privileged to share these stories with you in hopes of expanding perceptions of what it means to be an immigrant in Harrisonburg. Each week, Harrisonburg 360 is produced by a different team of students. This week's episode, Home, was produced by Jesse Beto, India Williams, Chloe Fallon, Gracelyn Hamlet, and myself, Sarah Bruno. In this week's episode, we'll be discussing the educational experience of a first-generation college student, David Figueroa, whose family immigrated from Honduras. This story explores his educational experiences as a child, his life as a college student now, and the support systems he developed throughout his time in the Harrisonburg community. Before we begin David's story, we're going to explore some literature related to immigrants' experiences, struggles, and successes. My Life as an Undocumented Immigrant by Jose Antonio Vargas follows an undocumented immigrant coming of age in the United States. Vargas discusses how he found acceptance and community in his work and school.
Jose writes, "I grew up here. This is my home. Yet even though I think of myself as an American and consider America my country doesn't think of me as one of its own." The way Jose discusses feeling disconnected from a place he considers his home struck me as important to the identity of a first-generation student. Jose stating that America is his home because he grew up here should establish him as just as much a citizen as anyone else. However, he expresses a feeling of rejection that is beyond his control. Jose describes how this feeling waxes and wanes throughout the life of an immigrant and how his identity has shifted based on this. In our conversation with first-generation student David, coming later, we'll learn more about just how isolating this can be.
To build upon what Chloe talked about regarding belonging, I found this excerpt from the text saying, "From the moment I wrote my first article for the student paper, I convinced myself that having my name in print, writing in English, interviewing Americans, validated my presence here." In this excerpt, I was really drawn to his desire to belong and the feeling that he had to earn it. A particular word that stood out to me while doing a close reading was the word validated. Validated is a word that can be used in legal or contractual contexts, which fascinated me how he uses this particular word to describe his experience. An example of validation is getting our parking validated. This is a process related to proving that you earned the ability to park for free by getting the approval of a person in charge of the place you're visiting. Some places that use validated parking would be hospitals, doctor's offices, and some hotels. He felt this desire to similarly receive validation through earning approval of others to be in the United States. He felt that he was just a visitor and that this approval would make him belong. This desire to be accepted by his family, by his peers, and by the country he has lived in for the majority of his life was a common theme in this article. Our narrator, David, also expressed this desire to be accepted and belong in his community. He was able to find this with some of his peers, which you will hear about later in the podcast. Similarly to Vargas, our narrator found that his home wasn't where one might expect. David Figueroa found his home in Harrisonburg, Virginia. As a student at James Madison University, Figueroa discovered a community in which he could thrive.
I'm David Figueroa. I'm a junior accounting major. I transferred from Blue Ridge Community College about a year and a half ago. Came over here to finish my, so I got my associate's, so I came transferred to finish up everything, to get my bachelor's, and then trying to see through to the CPA route. My parents are from Honduras, with my dad being African heritage, a chance to go back to Western Africa. And yeah, that's a little short summary.
What was your biggest cultural shifts, or what was your parents' biggest cultural shifts migrating here to the United States?
They didn't really have one, because when you come over here, it's not any fun or games. It's literally get here, try to find some way to find some sort of income.
Right.
Because at the time, they had my three younger sisters still there. So they had to get them over here. And the way you get them over is that you have to pay somebody to bring them over here. So it's very, so they really, I wouldn't say they had a shock. Because, you know, it's obviously, it's the lifestyle is different here. So, like, when they got here, they got to family that they knew who were already here. And then from there, just trying to make money to bring my sisters over.
All right. And question two, who lived in your house growing up?
So when I was younger, at some point, all my sisters were, but they're so much older than me. The youngest out of the oldest is 10 years older than me. So I don't think, there might have been a time they were all three with us when I was in high school, when they were in high school. But I only remember one of my younger sister being in school where I was in, like, elementary school. But I would see them all the time. My oldest sister is the one who really raised me, because my mom worked from, they left from 5 in the morning to like 7 at night because they worked in factories. So my older sister was the one who took care of me, looked at me. She's like my mother figure.
What does home look like to you?
Home, that's complicated, because we're not a close family. Like, we are, but we're not. Like, we don't say, like, your average typical things. But, like, home for me is anywhere that I'm at, that I feel comfortable. So, like I've lived in so many places, but I end up coming back to Harrisonburg. So I feel like Harrisonburg for me is home, even though, like, I would love to go back to Chicago. I had the best time of my life when I was living up there or going back over there, but I always end up coming back here to Harrisonburg. So for me, Harrisonburg is more of a home feel. And then where were my parents at and my sisters?
All right. Can you describe your educational experience growing up?
Oh, man, don't even get me started on education. I hated school. I was so bad. Because if you think about it, my parents weren't home. Mm-hmm. My sisters were doing their own thing. They're all in either high school or about to finish high school. And everybody knows how you are in that age. And then you have me. I didn't do any work because my kid's not going to sit there and, oh, let me do homework. Let me read. And I would have to sign everything for myself. Like, I signed every important document. I filled out every document I had to do for school since I started elementary school. So, like, I knew I didn't have to do anything. So, like, when I got in trouble and they had to sign stuff, I signed it. I filled it out. Till this day, I still fill out things for them. And I just didn't like school. I didn't want to be there. So I hated it. I didn't do great school. I was reading. I don't think I learned how to properly read till like the fourth grade, fifth grade. And that's been a struggle ever since. I hated reading out loud. You know how like you get nervous when you read? I just couldn't read words. Right. So like I would like figure out which one and try to read it. Not because I was nervous, because I didn't know how to read well compared to everybody else. I just didn't like it. I got special treatment. So, like, we had a list of spelling words. I got half of them. I felt like teachers just passed me along. So, like, I barely made it out of there.
Right. Who was your favorite teacher? Like, did you have a person you looked up to?
There's a few. I know in elementary school there was, I don't know why I remember, Miss Churchill. She would always look out for me. I guess she understood where I was coming from. She's actually a principal now in Smithland. I actually went back to Smithland for my niece, and she recognized me. What else? Then in high school, I had a couple. I had, they were just really good to me. Like, they were always cool. Like, I was juggling with them. So I had Mr. Cap. He was our history U.S. government teacher. I had him back to back to back, so we got pretty cool. But the teacher I really liked the most, I would say, his name was Mr. Scott, the English teacher. I hated English. But he was a cool dude. He was hilarious. And he actually, when he taught his class, the books we read were actually pretty cool and I actually enjoyed them. But another teacher was when I was at Skyline Middle School here in Harrisonburg. Her name was Ms. Fry. She was the first and only black teacher I ever had. And she was really cool too. She was a science teacher.
What challenges did you face growing up, like racism, language barriers, identities, and et cetera?
Language barrier coming from parents that don't speak any English was difficult because I wasn't around them, so I didn't pick up Spanish early on. So like that might have acted why I didn't talk to my parents when I was younger. Like it wasn't bad, but compared to what it should have been at the time. I didn't really face racism early on because, you know, as a kid, you're oblivious to it. You don't really know what it is because, like, I've been in all these diverse areas. So, like, if you're poor, everybody's poor. Or if you're broke, everybody's broke. So you're in the same scenarios. Like, if somebody's doing illegal things, you're everybody's in the same boat. So, like, I didn't experience it until I got older when I started coming back, when I came back to Harrisonburg. I was walking. I remember in school, like, a group of my friends were walking, and they're like, oh, look at all these. One of his teachers called them Mexicans at the time. I remember that like it was yesterday. I was like, dang, they really just said that. And then an identity struggle might be, especially growing up because I have African heritage in my DNA. I remember a lot of Hispanics would get mad at me, especially in high school when I started playing basketball, because I was with all my friends that were black. And, like, they accepted me, you know, they saw me as one of them. And, like, I think I started playing basketball sophomore year, and they, like, I didn't find this out until my senior year that they were saying this. They're like, oh, he's changed. He don't mess with us. He don't mess with the Hispanic culture anymore. Just because I was hanging out with different people and playing basketball, because I see these guys every day. We're running and getting yelled out together.
Right.
So that I had that didn't start till high school. Because, like, of course, my freshman year, I knew them because I went to that middle school then. Then, you know, you make new friends, and, like, that's never sat right with me, the way they said that. Because, like, it shouldn't matter who you hang out with. It. Like, if you're cool with somebody, it doesn't matter. So I had that issue because I didn't know. Because growing up, that's a lot of my friends were black anyways. So, like, it was just always a dilemma. They're like, oh, he's hanging out with them. Why is he not hanging out with us? Well, you know, especially me now, I'm in LSA. But I don't really know that many people in LSA because I'm involved in other things. But, like, it's just still that cost, like, oh, he's not a part of it.
Can you tell us what LSA stands for?
So LSA is the Latinx Student Alliance here at Harrisonburg, at James Madison University. But I also do a lot of stuff with, like the African Student Alliance and, like, you know, and SGA stuff that we do for DEIJ and stuff like that.
Why did you choose accounting as your major?
Growing up, all I would see on TV was these people in suits making money, and a lot of their majors was in finance, marketing, stuff like that. And a lot of the stuff I learned growing up was from TV because I didn't have anyone else to teach me. My parents were working. Mm-hmm. So a lot of stuff I learned, like life lessons, life skills, were from either shows I watched, or from literally TV, but in general. So I saw that and it kind of stuck with me. You know how you take those tests, like as a kid, oh, what career? Every time I had to take it, it had to do with either working in finance or something, every time.
All right, question 8. What has your college experience been like?
It hasn't been easy for me because my education background compared to everybody else is not the same. So I really had to, like, I remember when I first graduated high school, I was still playing basketball. I was on track to play D2 basketball. But I couldn't keep my grades up my first semester. I ended up with a 1.9 my first year at Blue Ridge. So that made me ineligible to even play basketball. So I decided to stop and then just focus on school. And that alone, I ended up graduating with a 3. But that wasn't easy for me because I had to literally sit there for hours. Like, it might take somebody an hour to do a project. It took me 2 to 3 hours. Because, you know, I don't know how to do anything. Like, I was skated by high school. I don't have any good habits for school because I've never been shown. I don't know anybody who's been in my scenario or even growing up. I think the only people I knew who graduated college or went to college were teachers.
All right. Why did you choose JMU after Blue Ridge Community College?
I always knew that the accounting program here was always good, so that was always going to be one of the options after. And it was right here in my backyard, basically. I'm like, let me just come out, finish out, and just get my degree. And then from there, move or do whatever I got to do after that.
All right. Does your career goal differ from your childhood dream?
No. My career goal has always been to never be in the same financial situation that I've been my entire life. Since I can remember, that's always been my goal, and it hasn't changed to this day.
This was just a snippet of an extremely enlightening conversation with a first-generation student. While Jose found a community in his school, and David in clubs and sports, they both found it important to find work that would significantly change their financial situations. Though in different places, both David and Jose found a community for themselves while simultaneously being pulled between two cultures. Through poetry and conversation with an immigrant from Malawi, the next episode will expand on what home is through discussions about culture. Thank you for joining us today on Harrisonburg 360. We're grateful to Kate Morris, Bodine Amyot, Sarah Roth-Mullett, Kirsten Melodinia, and Harrisonburg 360 for helping make this episode possible. You can follow Harrisonburg 360 on Facebook and Instagram at Harrisonburg 360 or Twitter at 360 Harrisonburg. I was your host today, Sarah Bruno. Our interview was with David Figueroa and was conducted by India Williams. Our research and content producers were India Williams, Gracelyn Hamlet, and Jesse Beto. And our audio producer was Chloe Fallon. Join us next time for the next episode,